Chapter 25. Wolf Cull. Braw's enemies changed in quality. No longer were desperate human thralls or mindless cyborgs sent against them. Now they faced the sons of Horus themselves. At first they attacked in small units, perhaps because Braw's group was outside the Sith's main lines of attack. But after their first encounter, word of their presence spread, and the number of warriors they faced increased considerably. They fought through them all, charging recklessly into their guns, hacking them down. "Fall back," the order went out. It was delivered by Grimnir Blackblood, Huskarl, to the king. The wolfpack feared the worst. Fall back. Unthinkable. The rout did not fall back.
"Were we victorious?"
Henry was forced to shout over the battle noise. He had a fresh wound in his leg to go with that in his shoulder and limped badly.
"There is no word whether Horus is dead or alive," said Braw. "We failed, else Russ would have given the order himself," said Ragnar grimly.
He cut down a traitor marine with his power axe and shot his bolt gun one-handed into the chest of a second, shattering his breastplate and ribs.
"Brothers!"
laughed Enrir.
"The passageways swarm with the sons of Horus, and they do not have the desperation of men who have lost their beloved leader. Of course we have failed."
There was a defensive wildness to his joking. The thought of their Primarch dead chilled them to the core. Dayot's Skitari were down to 3 men. They fought well. To get past the traitor's thick battleplate, they concentrated the fire of their projectile weapons on single targets. They were otherwise outmatched by the legionaries attacking the group. Braw and his brothers did their best to shield them from death, but one by one they fell, and the support they could offer the Vilka diminished. Vox reports painted a grim picture. Strike groups attacked the fallback corridor in multiple places, attempting to break it down, isolate the wolf packs, and destroy them individually. Horus had allowed them to penetrate so far into the vengeful spirit to trap them. That was clear to Braw. The Warmaster had exploited Russ's recklessness, though Russ had counted on Horus doing so. They were pieces on the tuffle board, building intersecting snares. The situation looked hopeless, but in truth they could not tell who had succeeded in their objectives until the battle was done. Braw fought like a great white bear. He had a new chainsword, liberated from the clutch of a dead traitor. Once the teeth on that were blunted, he intended to take another, and then another, until there were no more chainswords or no more traitors. Dying did not factor into his plans. They blasted their way into a tall domed chamber, whose ceiling was ringed with fans chopping noisily at the air. A gas mixture that smelled of algal bed carbon scrubbers past their best wheezed up from pipes beneath the grilled floor. Braw slammed the final traitor in the face with his stolen sword's spiked guard and shot him dead while he staggered. His brothers stepped in after him, covering the interior with their guns.
"There is no one here," said Ragnar. "Not yet," said Braw. "Take a moment. Drink. Search the enemy for ammunition and supplies."
He pointed at the corpses spilled around the doorway to the hall. The sons of Horus had changed. Braw had seen them before, aboard this very ship not so long ago, but in the interim, between his visits, their armour had deviated further from the norms of the faithful legions. More of them sported spikes and hooks, skulls hung in bunches at their sides, and the pauldrons and polines of some had been reworked into leering, demonic faces. Out of curiosity, he removed the helm of one of the slain. He was not surprised to see the warrior's face had lost some of its humanity. If Maleficarum could rework metal, why not flesh? The appearance of the traitors was altogether crueler than it had been, and everywhere the insolent, stylized eye of Horus stared.
"They have the look of the Underverse, don't you think?"
said Ragnar, lifting up the dead weight of a slain legionary so Enrir could pull out spare ammunition from his belt.
"How could they possibly think they are on the right side carrying things like this?"
He flipped over a flap of tattooed flayed skin worn on the warrior's pauldron.
"They call us barbarians." "All power makes tyrants, brother," said Braw. "They have been made mighty. Now they use those gifts for themselves rather than for mankind. Do you think the people of our world would view us any differently than these creatures if they knew the Imperium could purge their world of monsters, stabilize its orbit, and free them from lives of fire and ice? I don't like your tone, Tirefinger. The Primarch keeps Fenris that way to keep the Legion strong. Do you want a planet of weaklings?
I'm sure the weaklings would like to be alive, said Braw.
Ragnar growled.
You've been away too long, tugging at the skirts of Malkador on Terra. You have gone soft. I am merely saying, brother, that all we of the Legions are monsters. Some of us are more open about it than others.
He looked around the bodies one last time.
That's it. We'd best move on. How's your leg, Enria?
Enria limped to the closed door on the far side of the chamber.
It hurts a lot, but I'm not going to follow Himlik's weird yet. I'll lie down on the red snow when I'm good and ready.
The closer Bjorn and Grimnir got to the embarkation deck, the heavier the fighting became. As they passed down the evacuation route, the Vilka maintaining the perimeter folded back on themselves, so that although casualties were high and becoming heavier, the group around the Primarch grew in size. Explosions shook the vengeful spirit, as demolition charges and fusion devices planted deep in the vessel went off, bringing ruin to vital systems. These explosions could be differentiated from the impact of weaponry upon the surface of the ship, being altogether heavier in feeling in the way they shook the deck beneath Bjorn's feet. The flight back to the extraction point was a blur of flashing light, weapons discharge, and screaming alarms. Ogvi Helmshrot and Skard Oki took charge when the remnants of Traa and Tolv joined their warriors into the group. What had become of Haval Redblade, Bjorn did not know. The companies of Helmshrot, Bjorn's own company, and Oki were badly mauled. The warriors that made it back to the escape corridor were wounded, their armor streaked with sealant foam and blood. The collective grinding of malfunctioning power armor became loud enough to compete with the thunder of bolt guns and shrieking discharge of plasma weaponry. Russ remained quiet through it all, gasping out the occasional direction to the warriors carrying him. When Bjorn tried to leave to turn back and fight the forces harrying their retreat, Russ snarled that he should remain. The Primarch gave no other orders. Although the vicious wounds in his shoulder and side had ceased bleeding, and he was walking a little more surely, he remained weak. His heavy arms bore down on the warriors carrying him, forcing them to change several times as they became exhausted. The fleshmakers fussed around him even as they evacuated. Chthonian war cries chased them onwards and downwards. Russ's party was kept at the center of the fighting retreat, and Bjorn heard rather than saw their enemy. They passed through areas that were aflame, others that were flooded. Gravity plating had failed in several sections, and the air was stale in more. Whether they escaped or not, the wolves had dealt the vengeful spirit a grievous injury. Bjorn wondered if it would make any difference. Such were the resources the War Master commanded. His vessel would be quickly repaired. Perhaps all of this blood spilt would gain the Emperor nothing but a few extra months. It was a waste of a legion. The sounds of fighting receded a little. They passed into sections held by heavy Vilka Fenrika presence. Wolf packs guarded the approaches to the deck, garrisoning captured fortifications and makeshift defences. A closed airlock into the embarkation deck was ahead, wires trailing from open instrument panels plugged into Sixth Legion equipment. Neither Bjorn nor the Primarch was wearing a helmet. A spare breathing mask for Russ's suit was sourced from the Iron Priests accompanying the Varagir. Bjorn had none.
There is no atmosphere beyond. You know that,
said Grimnir, nodding at the door.
I know, said Bjorn. I will stay here.
Hell you will, said Grimnir. Russ ordered you to stay by his side. I don't want to be the one to explain that his favourite weird mark went off to a glorious end without his permission.
The Huskarl removed his own helm and held it out to Bjorn.
I will not take it, said Bjorn.
You will? Because I am ordering you to, said Grimnir.
His single eye squinted. Gunfire sounded from further down the line. The howls of Vilka in combat grew louder.
Go on! Take it!
He snarled. Bjorn stared at him defiantly.
By the All-Father, you are a stubborn Skirtnir Pjoki. They are coming. You have to leave now.
Hesitantly, Bjorn took the helm. Grimnir nodded and slammed Bjorn hard on the pauldron.
Good luck, one-handed. This is where we part ways, for the time being.
He racked a bolt into his gun.
I shall see you soon. First, I have a small matter to discuss with the War Master.
The atmospheric recycler opened onto a large circulation hall, where refreshed air was drawn and mixed before being pumped around the vessel. It was a huge space, where dozens of pipes terminated in arrays like the barrels of Gatling cannons. They hooted softly, the noise of a pipe organ played by the wind.
The lungs of the ship, said Braw. Now this would be a fine target. If we had the time, or the charges, said Enria.
He limped across the deck. Blood and hydraulic fluid spotted the floor behind him. Ragnar pointed upwards.
More Maleficarum, he said.
Some of the pipes had changed from metal into sagging flesh tubes that opened and shut with wet clicks.
The crew is breathing air that has gone through that filth. Do you think that it speeds the spread of corruption?
Braw shrugged.
I am no goatee. Would that you were! You would never have dared come back here,
said a sneering voice. A shaft of light snapped on, illuminating a deck raised over a set of large sealed pipes. Upon it was a group of Justarin Terminators dressed in black and gold, their plates decorated with eight-pointed stars and Horus's unblinking eye. There had been nobody there a moment before, and none of the telltale signs of teleportation to announce them.
How, by the All-Father, did they get in here?
Snarled Enrir. The wolves reacted as one, bringing their weapons to bear. A giant warrior stood at the fore. He had no helm and wore his hair in a high topknot. No one could mistake that figure. He was hated throughout the Imperium.
Ezekiel Abaddon, said Braw.
I expected you to return, Fenrisian savage,
said Ezekiel Abaddon.
I have gone to considerable trouble hunting you down. I do not like trespassers.
He looked around the circulation hall. The steady breeze lifted Abaddon's topknot into a long streamer.
I don't see any windows an audacious pilot might shoot out here.
He grinned. The discoloration of his teeth was pronounced against his sickly white skin. Abaddon's physical condition had deteriorated since their last encounter, but he exuded an air of uncanny power.
You will not be leaving alive this time.
Ragnar had his bolter up, aimed at Abaddon's exposed face. Braw stepped forwards, his stolen chain blade held easily at his side.
Then come down here and fight me!
Abaddon shook his head.
Not today, Wolf. I'd enjoy the contest, but it would take too much time to kill you. And your master is escaping.
Ragnar shot then, a single bolt that roared on a tail of fire unerringly at Abaddon's exposed head. It did not hit its target. Abaddon's armored glove flashed in front of his face. The bolt hit the back of the gauntlet and detonated, leaving a small smoking crater in the black ceramite.
A good shot, but not good enough, said Abaddon. Kill them,
he ordered his Justarin. Their weapons came up, rounds clicking into place in their boxy combi bolters. Ragnar died first, his last shot going wide. Enrir did not have time to aim his weapon. Braw was charging when he was blasted to pieces by Horus's elite. The last thing he saw was Ezekiel Abaddon's smile. As soon as the airlock opened into the embarkation deck, the Sons of Horus made a concerted attempt to kill the Wolf King. They came from all sides at once, from above, from below, from the side. Fierce skirmishes erupted at the large prowward gates, and from outside the ship came storming parties in void-hardened armor, attempting to force a way through the wrecked hangar blast doors and surround the retreating Sixth. 200 meters across open deck, Russ's Stormbird waited for its master, its void shields still extended protectively. The men escorting the Wolf King broke into a run, dragging at their staggering Primarch. Gunfire streaked noiselessly across the vast hangar deck. Explosions lifted up from the ground in silent effusions of brief fire. Bjorn jogged alongside his lord. Sighting his bolt gun well with one hand was hard to do, but he called upon the mechanisms of his armour to steady his arm, and a spray of shots punched a Sons of Horus legionary off a catwalk high above. 100 meters to go. The great prowwood gates blasted inwards soundlessly. Huge chunks of metal rushed onto the deck, smashing down Vilka manning barricades before them. Bjorn felt the explosion through the soles of his feet. A blast of atmosphere followed, and the Sons of Horus emerged in a cloud of dispersing ice crystals, guns blazing. The Vilka were withdrawing. Already, gunships were lifting off, the sound of their passage reduced to faint tremors. As they departed, they loosed their remaining missiles through the gates into the enemy. Las cannon and turbo laser fire tore up sheets of metal. Warriors disappeared in incandescent plasma sunbursts. Both sides suffered from the other's attentions. 50 meters. A stabbing flurry of phosphor rounds blasted the fleshmakers escorting Russ. The Primarch stumbled as the warriors died. Half his remaining escort dropped to their knees, snapping off retaliatory shots. The Stormbird's powerful engines were cycling up to takeoff speed. Heavy bolter rounds cut up the metal around Bjorn, chewing the deck into a snarled mess. Miraculously, he wasn't hit. Bjorn added to the covering fire as he ran. More warriors aiding Russ were cut down as they sheltered the Primarch with their bodies. A brother of Sepp fell dead at Russ's side. Bjorn took his place, his armor jarring against Russ and making the Primarch wince. His face was bare, apart from the breathing grill over his mouth, but although his skin had taken on a bluish tinge, exposure to the near vacuum of the deck seemed to have done him little harm. 20 meters. The Stormbird's ramp descended. Wolfguard appeared in the aperture, beckoning urgently, shooting over the heads of the running wolves. 3 warriors, besides Bjorn, were left helping the wounded Primarch. 1 lost his leg and collapsed, blood rushing from his severed limb. Another took a bolt round to the back, frying his power pack and locking his armour. 3rd turned back, howling madly over the vox, gun blazing. A Vulkite beam melted his pelvis. Bjorn was alone with the limping Primarch. His jaw was clamped hard with the effort of bearing his genefather. The Emperor's spear trailed loosely from Russ's fist. He would not let it go. Yellow lumen light shone from within the Stormbird, calm and steady against the frantic flash of the battle. With a final heave, Bjorn shoved the Primarch forwards and fell down through his effort. The Varagir helped Russ up the ramp. Bjorn staggered forwards, turning back as his boots thumped into the ramp. Horus had come. His legion was flooding the embarkation deck in a metallic green tide. Heavy weapons teams were setting up their guns. The 1st were already firing, targeting the fleeing gunships. A Storm Eagle took a direct hit in its port engine. Before it could adjust to the loss, it dropped down and slammed into the hull's inner wall, sending down a fall of burning fuel and wreckage across the deck that went out almost as soon as it ignited. Horus strode with impunity through the rout, cutting down the Sons of Russ wherever he went. Bodies tumbled head over heels from every strike of his maul. His claw macerated bold warriors into unrecognizable manglings. The Space Wolves were quick to respond. Bjorn caught a screamed order tagged with a Jarl's code ident. He didn't catch who it was, and their voice was scrambled by Vox interference.
Take down the Warmaster! Kill Horus!
The Vilka's own fire support teams drew a bead on the Warmaster. Dozens, then hundreds of heavy weapons slammed into him. Horus leaned into their fire like a man braving a blizzard. Behind the dazzling light, Bjorn saw the wound in the Warmaster's side, wide and deep. A spear cut. Russ had hurt him after all. More weapons drew a bead on the Warmaster, venting every method of destruction devised by human science. Bjorn saw beyond the glare of conjoining energy beams that the blasts were not hitting the Warmaster, but stopping short of him, as if they were kept back by an energy shield. No man-portable Aegis could withstand that level of punishment. The force of shell, plasma, and laslight bent around Horus, the boil over annihilating his treacherous sons for meters either side.
Maleficarum, whispered Bjorn.
It was the only explanation. In the last few years, he had seen many terrible things, but only on Prospero had he seen a display of raw magic as potent as this. A hand pulled back on his pauldron. Bjorn resisted, arrested by the sight of the War Master coming to slay his king. He had to see. The ramp started to close. Lift-off thrusts shot out pillars of fire, grav impellers distorting his sense of mass. The Stormbird began to rise. Horus trudged on towards the escaping vessel, his demonic face uncovered even in the airless deck, roaring his anger. His fury was a physical assault, pushing at Bjorn's soul painfully. Within the shimmering wall of power protecting the War Master, Bjorn saw wicked things whose words were all too clear despite the lack of air to carry them. Something was burrowing into his head, urging him to leap from the ascending Stormbird. He tightly gripped the pistons of the rising ramp.
No, he said. No.
A hail of fire was coming at the Stormbird. A shell got through the void shield and thrummed off the underside of the ship. The flickers of lasbeams turned aside by the Aegis strobed the interior through the closing ramp. A thunderhawk exploded nearby, shrapnel from its death bouncing off the Stormbird's hull. Horus pushed on, surrounded by his attendant swarm of uncanny protectors, shielded from all harm, while his warriors fell to the punishment of Vilka Fenrika guns. Horus stared into Bjorn's eyes. He looked right at him. Bjorn was sure of it. A bleak chill gripped his heart, a foreboding of endless long winters to come. Then the ramp shut. Vents gushed atmosphere, pressurizing the passenger cabin. Sound returned. A pair of wolf priests were attending the Primarch.
Bjorn, said Russ weakly. Bjorn.
One of the priests scowled at Bjorn and beckoned him over. Exhausted, Bjorn crawled to his Gene Sire's side, his lightning claw cradled against his chest.
My Jarl, Bjorn, Russ murmured. I could have killed him. I could have killed him.
My lord?
Russ grabbed at Bjorn's armor with a weak hand. His eyes were wild.
I hesitated. Then all was for naught, said Bjorn.
A plasma torch burned hot, close at hand, as the wolf priests cut away Russ's fabled armor to get to his wounds.
No. No, it wasn't,
Russ smiled. His teeth were stained with his own blood.
The spear tasted his soul, and I spoke with him. I spoke with him.
His eyes were drooping again. He was sliding towards unconsciousness.
With who? With the traitor? Asked Bjorn.
Russ shook his head, barely awake.
Not with the traitor. Not with him. I spoke.
He took a shuddering, rattling breath. Before he slipped away, he whispered,
I spoke with my brother.